This is a production of Cornell University.
It is 4:46 on September 4th, and the Student Assembly meeting is going to begin. First on our agenda is roll call. Chelsea, will you please call the roll?
President.
Here. Here. Present.
Brown. Present. Brown. Present. Golden. Here.
John.
Unexcused. No, she's here.
Oh.
Emma's here.
Oh.
Johnson's here.
Oh.
Sorry.
Kajarwal, unaccused. Unaccused. Unaccused.
Here.
Unaccused. Yeah.
How about it, sir? Thanks, Chelsea. Next on our agenda is an oath of office. We have a couple of new members this week. Including Franklin and Blake. So if you guys would please stand up. Alright guys, so if you could please just try to read the oath together. After I say a few words, I will just repeat those words together, okay? In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor, I say your name here. Vikram, say this. Vikram, say. You're saying this. Vikram is also a new member. Okay. Say, I, Vikram.
I, Vikram.
Okay. Do you solemnly affirm to fulfill my responsibilities? As a student elected representative.
Vikram.
I will engage in open and honest debate in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts. In an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body. And address the issues of my fellow students. And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Thank you guys so much. If you could sign those and hand them to me at the end of the meeting, we'll bring them to the office, and you're officially sworn in members of the Student Assembly. Congratulations. Next, we're going to move on to approval of the August 28th meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
There's been a motion to approve. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I'm going to call that we approve the minutes by unanimous consent. Seeing no dissent, the minutes are approved. Next on our agenda is open microphone.
Thank you. To those in the audience, open microphone is a chance for anybody in the general public to address an issue to the student assembly. You can come forward to the table in the front, state your name and your year, and speak to us for the 4 minutes speaking time. So if anybody at this moment would like to do so, please come forward. Seeing none, we're going to close open microphone.
Thanks, Juliana. Because President Gordon and VP Murphy are supposed to be arriving at 5 o'clock, we're going to get started with the rest of the agenda, and we might have to interrupt that when they arrive. But right now, we're going to move on into announcements and reports. Firstly, a PR update by Vice President of Public Relations, Worshaw. Our next announcement will be about the Ivy Leadership Summit by Representative Liu.
Hi, everyone. I'm very excited to be here at the Ivy Leadership Summit. I'm coming from the first time to the founder of Ivy High School. The Ivy Leadership Summit is a conference hosted by Ivy High School that seeks to bring together students from all the Ivy schools, focusing on leadership development, teaching of students,
appropriations committee more than happy to explain any of these selections. I think there was pretty unanimous consent to the staffing committee that this is the best direction forward. Seven, and I'll try to remember all of them off the top of my head, but it's Aaron Hancock, Fun Asakoya, Julia Liu, Connor Rosner, Samantha Hanley, Rohan Batia, and Saeed Azam. So if you have any questions about that group, feel free to ask me now or after the meeting. But I think it would be a pretty great group of people with a lot of diversity of thought that they can bring to you.
Next, we're going to move into business of the day. Our first resolution on the agenda is Resolution 3, approval of the Elections Committee slate. Jordan, would you like to explain the procedure?
Approval of the Elections Committee slate is in their operation. It will require a committee to show that the board is going to
be in
the agenda.
How many minutes?
You have 4 minutes.
Okay. So, like Matt said, second row, the election committee deadline was Tuesday evening. We had some good applications and we had to find out which members of the election committee. And so, some background is that the election committee is responsible for planning and overseeing the fall and the spring elections. And then, one of those jobs is resolving all gatherings that are submitted regarding the campaign. And it's a pretty big job. So we started to apply to many people by demanding the staffing committee 11 years. The names I'll read from off which are Vicky Abdonomenta, Katie Bresley, Alexander Joplin, Marco Boyce, Scott Heidler, Scott Steinberger, and Jerry Berger. And so one of the questions that I got answered was, is there a requirement for this to do that less than half of the membership to be at the numbers? So we can then get 4 IT members and consult with Jerry Berger. We decided that there's a decision that is in charge of the Army John Free Flight Council and our own engineering. Our committee is at the members in this sense, we can have a members. So this can just fulfill those requirements in the bylaws. But other than that, I think it's a really qualified group. We actually saw a really people who have good organizational outreach, who I think will help us through a lot of different sectors of campus. And we have some professionals in this new resolution, which I think it's going to go a long way for the results. So I really hope you're happy to answer any questions about the 4 IT members, the 6 meeting members coming in.
Great. If anyone would like to get on the speakers list or has a question or comment about this, please raise your hand through the placard so that I can write your name down and send it to you to the tent. Next is Representative Alcon.
So I'm
Thank you.
Next on our speakers list is our Vice President of Public Relations, Portia.
So I just wanted to address some of the concerns that Representative Alijan made. I think they're very valid, but one of the things, we did spend a significant amount of time, you know, without calling out names, but going through everybody's organizations they were involved in and determining if there was a possibility that they could in any way make any sort of nomination or designation that would support them while they were serving on the elections committee. And for each individual, we realized that either they would no longer be serving on the in their organization when it came to be that the nominations would occur, or that those organizations have not traditionally in the past endorsed candidates, and we received confirmation that they would continue to not endorse candidates, or they would step down from the organization if they felt like that was something that was going to occur. So with that being said, I think the slate is good, and I know that President Horton, about to arrive, so with that, I'd like to call the question.
Second. There's been a call to question. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to begin to vote. Please raise your placard if you are in favor of the election committee slate. Please raise your placard if you are opposed to the election committee slate. Please raise your placard if you'd like to abstain. By a vote of 18-0-0, the motion passes. Thank you, Dean Henderson. Sure. Just so everyone in the audience gets a quick reminder, if you're here to fulfill your requirement of a meeting, make sure that you talk to Director of Elections, Etiquette. Right now, we're going to start with Resolution 4, addressing the Student Activity Fee Endowment Fund until President Horton and Vice President Susan Murphy arrive. And then as soon as they arrive, I'm going to table this just so that they can speak.
Great. So the same resolution that we presented last week regarding the 270 infrastructure fund, only major change is in the last time we consulted with the parliamentary member to be able to take my quality right and make it a lot more clear and make sure that despite the fact that we will be implementing this fund a little bit later than we normally do, or what we're going to do, that we'll be able to continue with it this year. So I will provide a little background on the infrastructure fund that is in January quickly. Rhiannon will quickly jump into the schedule very broadly and then we'll open up for questions. So the infrastructure fund is the brainchild of a lot of the Vice President of Finance in this year's past, basically recognizing that we have a large fund that is not being spent and how we think that impacts students and make a difference. So this fund will be out about $30,000-$40,000 every year, which will be used for improving infrastructure on campus. The idea being that Cornell is large and operate their infrastructure improvements on larger buildings, $60 million, $100 million projects. So if you want to improve a small room on campus, that isn't necessarily successful all the time, and this fund will be able to support support our service project. We're really excited about it. With that being said, I'll just take you through it.
And in the audience, you are allowed to raise your hand if you have questions or comments. Liaison Kandera Shvili.
And you granted that, so $20,000 is gone. And then another group came in and requested 75% of the funds, and the committee deemed it appropriate and really great for the campus. What happens in that sort of situation? Can you just walk us through sort of funding
sure.
Yes. The process?
Yes, I have a question. So basically, what happens, and this is what our document and what we parsed out for the next couple of months, but our overall funding bill. What happens is all the applicants apply, and then their applications are sent to community members who will vote on a number of criteria, so range from how realistic your thesis is, how much impact it has on students, how broadly it impacts, and each community member will grant those applications. We will compile the scores, and then we will bring those four groups in front of the committee. And they will go through each application and order it from the group with the most, the highest score, the most output, to the lowest score. And basically, they need a certain percentage that changes depending on how much money you're asking for. But functionally, what would happen is that you're saying that if the first group is approved and there's no more money in the budget for that next group, you would not fund that group because you don't have enough money left in the budget. And the assumption is that if there's an application that is less important than the application above it, we want them as applications regardless of how much money is being spent.
Motion to call to question.
There's been a motion to call to question, but I'm actually going to hold that off because President Brennan and Vice President Murphy are here. So we'll get back to this in a few minutes. Yeah, sure. Thank you for coming.
shaking your
hand.
Open up the conversation for questions, unless you guys would like to start off by saying something. Yeah? We're going to start off with Representative Liu, because she submitted a question. But otherwise, we will probably go either two FA members to one community member.
Hi, thank you both so much for being here.
The resources provided by the administration of Cornell
to expand beyond the basement office of ISSO into something that is also vibrant and something that works in the format of 6 to 6 persons.
I am actually very proud of what that office does. So, before asking you this perspective on it, I do think that the building works in improvement, and that the same is not at all. It's an area that's very, very passionate for me. It would be helpful, first of all, to remember that the state is very limited to this day, but if you have time to send me a note, I'm probably specific about what the building means.
Yeah. flag of the International Congress of Education and Nationalism. The particular quandary of undocumented students, and I'm glad to talk about some undocumented students and adults that are privileged enough to come and see me and talk about some of the challenges, and then to go over and to graduate the busy situation at the beginning of school, and finally the busy situation related to emergency from home or family emergency or something. It's a very difficult to return to the U.S. in time and fashion. Some of those are really external issues beyond Cornell, but we're working on them. And to the minister, we felt it was reasonable to refresh that and get us focused on the other issues that we're interested in.
Sure, no problem.
And I would love to work with you with that. Thank you, and I'll definitely send you a note regarding resources other than Kenya. I think that we could really benefit from the administration, and I definitely do will contact the Madhya University about program funders. Thank you.
Next on our speakers list is Max Weisgrub. Max, you can come up and use the microphone.
So the CCAP board of directors recently said that they should ask for more funds from Cornell to support our current passion services and full services. Bill Cornell is in the upcoming budget, the increasing funds are continued supporting sort of to get at the current level now in services.
So, first of all, we're interested to have a disaster that has to do with the British student tax. And after thinking about this and listening to what I've heard first time thinking about that, and guaranteeing that we're thinking about the British student tax. We are meeting a dialogue with the CSET board about how we can work together to make this a more sustainable business. One issue that we can understand is that we're really part of the CSET system, not for knowledge of CSET or something like that. We're really part of the CSET, and we're really a major user of the CSET or a major user as well. So it's very much an honor to make sure that it's a sustainable, solid system that goes on for a long time. And how we do that is so important for working on. So I think the history answer is hopefully for this particular budget cycle, but we're working directly with the CSET board on this thing that we're going to be and we're very much at the table for the CSET board, for my students, for the different partners, and the whole enterprise. So it's very important to us not only as a formal partner in the enterprise, but as a major user to make sure that it's very sustainable. And our budget is not the biggest set of issues, as you all know. So stay tuned to us. I'm very close to that. If you want to run any more things, you can email us or you can keep your ideas, especially if you have a bad idea. But also keep in touch with the ESA through student reviews and other things. And I'd like to let this gentleman know that I'd like to ask you to do it. Here it is. The presentation is in the ESA. But we'll also make sure that we so thanks to the supervisor, I appreciate it.
Next is liaison Kazarashvili.
Thank you. So I'm from our Western Congress. We represent those from our residential halls on North Carolina, some on campus, and also the college campus. So one of the major things that has been an ongoing theme over the last few years is that we've been accepting larger and larger classes as the university has grown. My question is, has there been any discussion or dialogue about increasing student residence halls for freshmen and upperclassmen alike?
So the good news was this year, we hit our target for homeless, not the gathering, because there were still 12 students who were in Mountain View and last week, although we had a half to get them out by the end of the season. But we lot of people who some might say committing the target better. But the issue of on-campus housing is and remains a topic of discussion. And to be honest with you, in the near term, the answer is no about expansion, and that strictly a financial decision. The university is not in a position to take on additional borrowing, and the way one finances the residence hall, because if you have an income stream that helps you to pay back, if you can borrow and have a fund up front. So our most pressing need, quite frankly, is replacement of basewood apartments for graduate students. And those residents need to come down this year. So if we were to ask you what my top priority in the next 12 to 18 months would be, to find a solution for the bed that we will lose from the basewood. But there is, we do see a demand. Less on the first year class, because we have that principle that is an active topic of conversation on the dean about whether they decide to grow the first year class right now, according to the health, it will not be growing until they have to manage that target. But whether they receive the sustained demand from our continuing students on campus housing, that we might build a fixed residential model, or we might have additional class housing. But I think, fairness, to be quite honest with you, is that going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years? I don't see it on the horizon.
What is the point of the answer to that? One is that some of the resources in the government of the order is that one of the main reasons why the cost is more increases in the purchase class size is because of the commitment to measure that we have.
Speaker's list is Vice President for Outreach, Bhandari.
Against things that are coming out of Congress, the White House, give us a specific indication of those things that you think you collectively think are worth pursuing, which things you think are in pretty good shape the way they are, and especially communication issues. Because one of the biggest challenges we think that we're moving through this process of reassessing what we're doing and thinking about ways to garner more information. And that's one last aspect we're going to talk about was surveys at the moment. One of the constant recommendations is how we can get better communication and directions by both directions. So listen to comments. Sometimes very hard to come forward in this area. It's a traumatic area, meaning it's not the person involved, maybe a friend or traumatic individuals that exist. And so what we can do better, I think we can do better on hearing from the CEO. And the flip side is, how do we get more out of what we're doing? And we tend to do this through memos on campus, meetings that I have or obviously I have today, some of the senior leaders. But still all of us seem to fall short to some extent. And so if you can help us in person or in both of us to help us figure out that we try to hold the process, that would be very, very helpful. And one last time for General Dr. Murphy. Dr. Murphy is a long time before my time and the meeting packages that I've been through. Because we need to be student leaders. So with the SA President, GPSA, the head of the green system, the other chief of data system, the student elected trustees, and we spend that time talking about current issues. So to the extent that we can share through Sarah those aspects that we should talk about constantly among all the student leaders, then maybe it's already happening on a regular basis. Do you want to introduce this issue?
I'll just try to tip off a couple of the issues. So the first is the Trump year mentioned the White House National Season. And as I go through those recommendations in the second one, now it is. Good news is that some of the things they recommend we met last year as a confidential victim advocate. We started now including people like Laura and the Women's Resource Center, who is the confidential advisor in that area. So we're trying to assess where do we think need to be the recommendations. The Council on Sexual Violence Prevention that we launched last year focused its attention on the education programming first on all our internal students. That one of the regulations that will come into effect this fall is the requirement that every income student, every income applicant, or the educators in the area. So we continue to teach about it to all of our new undergraduates and all of them that the funding program is for the graduate professional students. And Laura Parker, the Human Resources, is finishing work on a video educational program that will be the faculty and staff. So we focus initially on making sure that all of our members of our community are getting education. We're all now collecting an ongoing variety of education programs. Athletes, leaders, Wingman 101, Core RA program, so that we can have all of them see where are we the ongoing education. We with the Student Academic Services are trying to coordinate our efforts around positive life intervention and making that broader-based concept of what we mean by that. One of the areas of the Council of Sexual Violence Initiative is focusing on faculty and research. So we begin to collect data to build an evidence-based strategy. So a lot of us are doing a lot of things, or any of these things work, and there's kind of a paucity of literature out there in the grand view about what strategies actually make a difference. The understanding of what consent is and to address quote unquote grade that is different in our society. We also had to finish our first year of the new adjudicatory process. We're using policy 6.4 as opposed to the new board our Title IX administrators that we led our branch of women and then very bad friends, non-women, and Anita Brennan. So together with the executive, we are looking at how do this last year work? What's working in this process, and where do we have areas that we have to do? We're going to do a very systematic analysis of that. I think we all believe the time frame is so small. There are appropriate checks and balances for the industry. There's some years that they fear 10 days, there are 30 days here, 30 days there, all of them are running about 5 months going on in a year. Is that victim or responded position that is for every issue? That. And then I think probably one of the most active issues happening is that I think we need to hire people is how do we properly educate about what consent means? Is consent the act of no or the expression of yes? And that's a very active conversation about what is consent, because the most difficult cases that we face in society is that he said, she said, or he said, she said, issues about misunderstanding about consent. And I think we have a lot of work to do with communities, and I need to involve you about what is that, is it the answer or the presence of the answer.
Oh, and then
the
last one is the
presence of the answer. So one of the areas that we're looking at in the current legislation is that we create climate surveys, or we embedded in questions by our consultants and all surveys, the study, but now there is a call for every institution, and we're not quite sure where that's going to end up on the list of the issues. But we are very supportive of conversations that are going on in the Association of American Universities, AAU, that our former president from the wrong lead, to create a single core question, basically a single survey where institutions can then add their own relevant that will be in the district to stand up for students on a regular basis. One of the benefits of having that agreed upon for is an benchmark for all campus community and other like institutions. So trying to find that balance about that in the core, but also what we would want to ask about Cornell and a community like this, so it's very different than what Columbia might want to have based in New York City. So we have to find that right balance between core or benchmarking versus
So then that'll be a community member, Matthew Battaglia.
So,
This is a suffer that I've been about for a long time. And we failed, leaders in our education for about 30 years, have failed to get this to the point that it needs to be. It's better now than it was, better than Cornell than it was, and better than school black program than it was. But the tuition is still pushing through the social system of education. When he increases financial aid, then it's massive for him, massive. But still, we use that in the multiple figures, just a slice of socioeconomic strategy. Making too much money to be considered eligible for substantial financial aid, but then it's not making enough money to be able to afford further education without double debt, sometimes there is substantial debt. So, too early in this year to cover up what we're doing, like I mentioned, we're moving on. But the record has been very slow, excessively slow, definitely on the trend in the way of education increases. And we're continuing to use at Cornell high education, high paying model of campuses, for what it is, and continuing to raise from very aggressive to the into reality of the campus order. So the sum of the answer is that the revenue that we need to do is still not good enough, and still very high.
Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. So if you still have questions, you can always email Professor Gordon, and he'll be back later in the semester to talk with us again. So we're going to go back to Resolution 4. Representative Landari.
So I have a question regarding the actual implementation. The professional agency talked about the idea of the one-time committee. How would you guys really estimate how much it's going to cost? Like, do you have any measures in place to make sure that you really sort of really estimate the cost of these certain projects? Just to really set up a unit and really know that how much.
Sure. So I think there are two things that need to be done. One on our end, one on the applicant's end. So I think on the applicant then, we are going to make very clear to them that in their application, we want a very broad budget. We want them to have a conversation with the administrators. And from our experience, a lot of people that are applying on making these changes, you can see this is a pretty small one, for example, which is responsible for the energy efficiency project, that they're going to get estimated in terms of this is the manner of changes that have been put into place and been done in other places on the campus. It's just a matter of how to connect and not. I think the second answer is that this committee and Grant the committee can be verified and as part of the application process determine whether or not the numbers are realistic. So if somebody said they want $30,000 to add one hour to a certain place on campus, if that
Next on the speakers list is Representative Zhao.
Hi guys, my question is, the future of all these plans for guidelines, what happens if something does go wrong? What happens if the actual process starts to finish and the figures are higher than the coaches? Would that matter the process of this or that? So, I mean, I am a main concern, and obviously with something like infrastructure, construction, social problems, we see all the time global budget. I think the best answer on the infrastructure issue is that we need to make sure we're being incredibly diligent up front if these sorts of things don't happen. And Ray and I are put together a plan and we're working on sort of thinking about maybe those who need to do that. Basically, the amount of money that's going to come out of the bond is going to be the amount of money that goes to the second side of the bond. And if there is a mistake that's going to be made, if you're going to do everything you can prevent that, it will not be drawn on the principal or anything like that. So hopefully, and it seems pretty solid that this happens, we never reach the process where we are already halfway through running projects and realize that there's so much left on. Because unlike other services, there's no way to do that. So this is a little rare, and it's definitely drive a lot of due diligence with stuff from that's around the process, which is what I think cannot solve the issue when you start to drive to other area universities.
Thaddeus, were you raising your hand before or no? Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yeah. Yes.
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 By a vote of 18-0-0, this passes. Thank you very much. This has been like 3 years in the making, 4 years in the making, so congratulations. Next on our agenda is Resolution 5, Updating United Student Body. This is new business. Jordan, would you like to explain? You have 4 minutes to begin presenting.
Speaking towards future things and decisions we have to make, I think they should go forward with the current process, at least for the time being, once we can review it. But, I mean, that's my main thought.
Next is Representative Talbot.
Well, the amount of
year. So we said that it should reflect the year amount rather than the amount of consent. Because you reflect the amount of consent, and then that actually changes the amount of consent. So do you have to meet organizations which come up with 5,000 every year? I'm sure the behavior of the technician is understanding. I'm sure the behavior of the
is there anyone else who would like to speak, or are there any motions on the floor?
Motion to postpone until September 11th.
There's been a motion to postpone this until September 11th. Is there a second? All right, now that there is a second, is there any dissent? You have 30 seconds to explain your dissent.
I think it's a matter of seeing the orders to the
great point.
Okay, so now we're going to have to vote on whether to postpone this to next week or not. So if you vote yes, you are voting to postpone it.
Why is
there a
word that's
got to be right? That is not a problem.
Okay, well, we only deal with one motion on the floor at a time. So first we're going to figure out whether we're moving this to next week or not. Okay? So if you're going to vote yes, that means that we are going to move this until next week. If you vote no, that means that we can have the potential to make this business of the day and vote on this today and make the SIAD amendment. Or you can abstain.
This is clarified that we not opposition and the SIAD amendment and vote today.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to need a majority vote. If you have
in that front.
Yeah.
Well, no one did.
I returned my motion.
All right. So the motion has been withdrawn.
Motion to change the first paragraph of the semester word in it.
Second.
Okay. There's been an amendment. There's been an amendment. There's been a second. Is there any dissent to this amendment? Seeing none, I'm going to move this by unanimous consent. Great.
Second.
There's been a motion to be move this to the business of the day. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to vote. We can do a placard vote on this one. So if you are in favor of this resolution, please raise your placard. Moving it to the business. No.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. If you are opposed to this, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. Okay. All right, so now this is passed. Thank you very much.
She called for you. And then she called me. It was a little unfair. So we'll just... Your question was good, by the way.
Yeah, but I
need
it. It's
been a... Fair.
Yeah. You guys have 4 minutes.
So, I think the number of the CRL is the CRL, where it will be from the day of the meeting, like 10, that's not enough. We do
Sure.
this is just the last day.
Next on our speaker's list is Reb Talbert.
I was just wondering why you chose that decision. People who want to be separated, but not one square.
I would be happy to have a water partner because as I said,
Motion to postpone until September 11th because there's no one else in the speaker's list.
Second.
All right, there's been a motion to postpone. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? All right, can we...
Point of information.
Yeah, point of information.
What's the remedy to the UAS?
What? Sorry? Not regular. Yeah, we have assembly leadership meetings, often breakfast and other meetings. We also have to serve on UA. We have a certain number of assembly members who are on the SA who have to serve on UA committees. At least five. So we have SA members like all throughout the UA, and we're in constant contact. Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on personal commitment to the issues. The UA hasn't actually convened yet this year, but Ulysses and I last year made sure that after every UA meeting, we had an announcement go out at the general SA meeting talking about the issues that were at the UA meeting, and that's something that I was planning to continue to do this year. So at a very minimum, FA members should be able to hear about it at the meeting, and maybe they can hear about that from someone like Mr. Batage over here if he is an ex-officio member. Okay, so there was a motion on the floor to postpone this until next week. There was a second. Can we continue on with this? Is there any more dissent? All right, we just need a majority. Please raise your placard if you would like to postpone this until next week. Please raise your placard if you would like to not move this to next week. Please raise your placard if you'd like to abstain. By a vote of 17-1-0, we will be postponing this until next week. Thank you very much. Actually, before we adjourn the meeting, you guys can go back to your seats. Before we adjourn the meeting, we do have two extra announcements. The reason why they're at the end of the meeting is because they were not submitted to the agenda by our usual protocol, so we're giving them time at the end to speak. The first is from the Director of Elections, Anakin.
Thank you. If you look in front of your table, you'll find a bunch of photographs. You're all expected to distribute this photograph to either your or give it to your professional in these popular classes, or actually give your friends go to another.
Okay, we're good. All right, and the next is Representative Talbot.
Yes. So this announcement is basically my respectful resignation from the student community. I wanted to make the announcement because I thought it was a matter of respect and courtesy that I should have suggested to the community. Whenever it's already said to me,
thank you for all the time that you've dedicated to us. We'll surely miss you and hope that you come and visit often. Other than
Motion to adjourn.
So there's been a motion to adjourn the meeting. Is there a second? I'm going to move that we adjourn by unanimous consent. All right. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you to everyone in the audience for sticking out.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.